You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Monday, the 22nd day of April, year of our Lord 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. We don't have any really breaking headlines, but there is a prepper tip of the day. I encourage all of you, especially those of you who live in the Pacific Northwest, to educate yourself about the Cascadia subduction zone. This Cascadia subduction zone, very dangerous. The seismologists, the geologists are very concerned about what may happen there in the not-too-distant future. I just printed out an excellent article that I'm sending to my daughter who lives up in that area herself. I'll be mailing that today. This is Firearms Monday. We spend these Mondays with my friend Sam Andrews, and we talk about anything and everything to do with rifles, shotguns, pistols, optics, ammunition, training, gun legislation, the gun culture. Sam's business is down there near Lebanon, Missouri, and it's Freedom Center USA is his Facebook page, Freedom Center USA. What's that telephone number, Sam? Good morning.
Good morning, John. 417-718-2597.
2597. That's 417-718-2597. Well, Sam, you were at the motorcycle races last week. How did it go?
Boy, it was a fantastic weekend. We got to see the MotoGP guys. They're the international racers, the best in the world. They have salaries commensurate with the top basketball players and football players in the United States, and they are premier athletes. They go about 230 miles an hour down the back straightaway at COTA, and they break down into a left-hand turn at about 35 miles an hour. And it's a sight to behold.
Whoa. Okay. Well, I don't believe I've ever seen a motorcycle go that fast. I've been in Indianapolis and seen automobiles go near that speed. I think about 220, 225. Incredible amounts of speed and so forth. Well, sounds like you thoroughly enjoyed yourself. Well, sir, when it comes to Firearms Monday, what's on your mind this morning, sir?
Well, you know, I was thinking about how people practice this weekend and why the average American shooter skill level is where it's at and why they don't elevate to the next level and the next level and the next level. And I basically came up with two thoughts. The first was it's the way they practice. And the second thought was the attitude or mindset of the shooter, him or herself, is that a lot of people don't have a continuous improvement mindset. And they don't realize that if they change their outlook or change their attitude a little bit and understand that they really can continually get better and better and better and better with the right mindset and with the right practice techniques, they'll really benefit from that knowledge.
Well, I agree, Sam, on one hand. On the other, there has to be motivation and a goal before anything else can kick in, doesn't there?
Yeah, one of the best coaches I ever knew in life used to say, attitude and effort. Those two things, if you take care of those two things, it takes care of everything else.
Well, and that's one of... I had two football coaches, and the first one was the one that really put us through our paces. And I don't recall him saying that specifically, but that did come out very crystal clear in the training that we went through.
Well, firing a pistol or a rifle or a shotgun, it's just like throwing a baseball or throwing a football or hitting a golf ball or doing gymnastics. There's motor skills that have to be developed, and there's repetition that has to be done. But, you know, we like to say practice makes permanent. The lie is practice makes perfect. The truth is practice makes permanent. So when you practice, you really have to do the right things when you're practicing. You may not have to do them at full speed, but you've got to do things the right way, and the speed will come.
Absolutely. Well, sometimes practice will give people away. I know MPs searching for guys going AWOL at airports and train stations and bus stations. They watch how the young man begins walking, and they all begin walking with the left foot first as they were trained in basic training. It's a dead giveaway. And if there's two or three of them, they all start out with a left foot at the same time. Well, that's an observation that is a very true observation. And I've seen this with my own students. Typically, it'll be a male student who's been shooting for two, three, four, five decades and repeating the same mistake that their grandpa taught them when they were 8 years old. And that's expected, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're getting training from a family member and not a professional, there's about a 99.9% chance that you may be being taught things that will limit how far you can progress. You really do need to have a professional in your family, someone that understands fundamentals, if you're going to accept training. Because whatever teaching you get, even at a young age, can have a profound limitation on how far you progress later on in any activity.
Absolutely. And with the female students, typically my female pistol students, they had a spouse, boyfriend, a husband, brother, hand them a woman the size of a healthy 12-year-old boy, a heavy caliber pistol, and say, "And here's the training. Here, honey, shoot this." That's the training. And you can imagine what happens when an adult woman the size of a healthy 12-year-old boy shoots a full-power single center-fire pistol with no training. It hurts, it's scary, and they don't want to do it anymore, do they?
Yeah, that's a really unfortunate situation. We've had several women out at our training facility whose husbands gave them their 10-gauge that they shoot goose hunting for their first time to shoot a shotgun, or they give them a 44 Magnum to shoot as their first pistol. They think it's entertaining, and what they don't realize is you can't be with your woman all the time, and your woman is one of the most important things in your life and one of the most valuable things in your life, and if you cause her to have a physical, emotional reaction to recoil that's really too strong, she won't want to practice with a smaller gun, even if she's willing to shoot and defend herself when you're not around. You're not doing your gal a favor if you give her something that's super heavy recoil and you don't start her off on something a lot more reasonable that she can manage and then learn to enjoy practicing.
Now, here's the other side of that coin. With proper training, a petite woman can do quite well with a heavy caliber pistol. I was at the Vietnamese National Police pistol range training with some of the guys one nice afternoon, and this Vietnamese officer showed up with his wife. Now, his wife was probably 4'11" and maybe 95 pounds, a petite, attractive young woman. And I watched her take a 1911 45 caliber pistol and handle it like a professional. This woman was good. She handled it very professionally and manipulated all the controls as if she knew what she was doing, which obviously she did. And she nailed some lead downrange in a very professional, skilled, and determined manner. And I was just so proud to see her do that and be able to defend her life and the life of her children if need be. So there's no reason why a petite woman can't properly handle a heavy caliber pistol, is there, Sam?
No, not if you get the right training. As a matter of fact, there's a number of South Korean women of South Korean heritage in America that just dominate three-gun pistol and pistol competitions. IDPA, three-gun, they are at the top of the top in the world rankings. You know, and they're not big girls with big hands. They're medium to smaller ladies, 130 to 90 pounds, and they can flat shoot. And when you see someone shoot like that, no matter what size they are, you realize how much practice time they put in, and it's literally hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Absolutely. Well, during the L.A. riots, I was so proud to see the Korean businessmen on top of their buildings, defending not only their businesses but their homes. A typical Korean business in Los Angeles at that time, the ground floor would be the retail part of the structure, and the second floor would be where they lived. And these men probably knew that their insurance coverage did not cover any loss due to civil disorder. So they were defending their homes, defending their livelihood, defending their lives when they were on top of those structures, defending them during the LA riots. And they did not suffer hardly any damage at all, did they, Sam?
No, they very effectively defended their area because people that riot look for soft targets. It's the same exact setup in Ferguson, Missouri. The apartments and the homes were on the second floor. The businesses were on the first floor. Now, it wasn't the business owner sleeping upstairs, but the building owner was renting apartments to people sleeping upstairs. But very similar architecture. And taking the rooftops armed is an extremely effective way to defend an area.
Right, right. And you were the field commander of the Oath Keepers that were defending those homes. Now, my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, when the Oath Keepers were first being deployed, there was rumors spreading like wildfire through the Ferguson that, oh no, the KKK is showing up, which obviously was not the case. And within 72 hours, photographs were being posted on the internet of the smiling black business owners arm in arm with the smiling white Oath Keepers, weren't there?
Well, yeah, that's basically it. Now, it wasn't just Oath Keepers. Oath Keepers did send some people. They sent about 11 people, but we had 65 men there. So, you know, probably 45 of them were not Oath Keepers, didn't have anything to do with Oath Keepers. We represented 9 different races, the number of men that were there. Some of them were European in nature. You know, we had German, Italian, Scottish, English. We had African American, we had Lebanese, we had Polynesian, we had Asian American, guys there that were all skilled operators, and we had a Marine that was an oath keeper, as I remember. We had an Army guy that was an oath keeper. It was quite the group, you know, an eclectic group of operators. A lot of them had two or three or four tours of duty in the sandbox, and so I really picked experienced guys. I wasn't interested in if they were oath keepers or not oath keepers. I wanted guys that had been in difficult situations and had composure and maturity.
Well, it worked out good, and I met some of those guys. I was down, and you had your place of business in Eureka. I met some of the guys, and they were real stand-up men who had obviously seen the elephant, as the saying goes. At the same time, during that time, I was interviewing you live on the air here on Republic Broadcasting and getting updates on what was going on in Ferguson, and I was helping defend a family premises here in Metro St. Louis County myself because there was people arrested and related riots within a half mile of my mother-in-law's home. So I had my duty here in this location. That entire thing is still very much misunderstood nationwide, what really happened in Ferguson, isn't it?
It absolutely is misunderstood because the media covered up so many things and they lied about so many things. And as far as the KKK rumors, those were actually started by St. Louis County police officers, if you can believe that or not. They were telling the protesters, don't go near those buildings because those guys are KKK and we can't protect you if you go near those buildings.
I suspect that came from the higher command, because I know the rank and file St. Louis County cops knew better. My friend Command Sergeant Major Page was there during the first riots, and we were giving live reports during the first set of riots. What's not well known is Michael Brown was an active suspect in the murder of a store clerk. I believe it was a hardware store where the young woman was beat to death with a hammer. And he was a suspect in that homicide. Hardly anybody knows that, do they, Sam?
Well, there's a lot of things in Michael Brown's juvenile record that are sealed, and since they're sealed, nobody knows what they are unless they were a judge, an attorney, or a clerk in the trial. But Michael Brown had some problems. He broke the law, and that initiated the contact with the officer there locally. It's interesting because when we were in Ferguson, the police officers were extremely happy we were there. And I mean the sergeants and lower.
Right.
The people that had a problem with us being there were the white shirts, and that didn't happen until the fifth day, maybe the fourth day we were there. And if you read Tom Jackson's book, The Chief of Ferguson, he basically tells you that the Department of Justice sent their crony down from the White House and basically told the unified command structure there to get us out of Ferguson. They didn't want us there. And that's when things turned negative towards us in a big way.
Right, right. Well, the governor of Missouri at the time, Jay Nixon, was on the premises getting instructions from the White House every day. Now, Command Sergeant Major Page was on the site when this was going down, and the instructions were basically from the White House to do anything and everything to make the riots as destructive as possible and as bad as possible. That was going on, and that was the goal of the White House, was to make the Ferguson riots to have the worst possible outcome, weren't they?
Well, what I know from talking to Tom Jackson and from talking to other officers in the air, what I personally know based on these guys' information, and they're rock-solid leaders in law enforcement, they told me that the Department of Justice ordered them to stand down, ordered them not to arrest arsonists and looters, ordered them to not use tear gas or other techniques that were used for crowd safety and crowd control. They were being manipulated by the federal government, and I also know that they threatened Chief John Bellmer and told him if he didn't follow this direction that they would take over and federalize his police department.
That's a pretty serious threat that had some teeth behind it. Here's our break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is J.R. Moore. I want to talk to you for a moment about my sponsor, GoldWealthFinancial.com. And gold and silver coin investing is considered a safe investment because of its physicality. For this reason, it's where many institutional investors put their money when signs of an economic downturn strike. In most stock market crashes and corrections, the prices of gold and silver rise steeply, while stocks and other exchange-traded funds plummet. At my website at thelibertyman.com, you'll find a link to goldwealthfinancial.com. You need to check them out. It's a great website, great people to work with, and they have a telephone number. That telephone number is 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Check them out, do your research, and give them a call. Thank you.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton, old town there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 22nd of April. We're going on a cruise. We're leaving October 12th, you single ladies. We are working with Betsy. Betsy is the organizer of this cruise to pair up single ladies so they can split a cabin between them. Give Betsy a call at 636-530-9502. I say again, 636-530-9502. This is Fires Monday. Visiting with Sam Andrews, the proprietor of Freedom Center USA, a world-class training center down near Lebanon, Missouri. The Facebook page is Freedom Center USA. The telephone is 417-718-2597. I say again, 417-718-2597. We got a couple of callers on hold here, Sam. First, we go to Jill in Maryland. Good morning, Jill.
Yes, good morning. On the topic you were talking about, protecting your family, your land, et cetera, this morning I was listening to WCBM. It's a radio news station here in Maryland. They reported that over this weekend, six men from the Mexican military came onto American soil, I believe it was Clinton, Texas, and they took the arms from our soldiers. I believe our soldiers were told to stand down. And when they do that, of course, they become soft targets. I don't know if you two had heard that yet, but right, I wanted to apprise you of it.
Well, let me give you some details here, Jill. First of all, they were south of the wall, but north of the border. So if you weren't really familiar with where the border was, you may think that these men who were in an unmarked vehicle, they weren't in a U.S. military vehicle, you may think they were actually in Mexico, but actually, even though they were south of the wall, they were still in the United States, north of the actual legal border. And they were told to stand down by higher command, of course, I wasn't there, and I think it was just a massive misunderstanding. Sam, you got any follow-up on that?
No, I think you're correct. I did hear about the incident, and I heard that they were approached from behind. The Mexican soldiers got the drop on them, and I think we're trying to avoid conflicts with Mexico to get the Mexican government to do things that mitigate the number of migrants that show up at the border. And so I think you're seeing a very soft policy right now. I don't agree with any of that. I'm more of a hardline guy, draw a line, defend the line, be done with it. But, you know, that's what's going on politically now, so that's where we're at.
Okay, Jill, did we answer your question? Or?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to apprise you guys because you didn't say anything about it, and I didn't know if you knew.
Right. Well, appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Okay,
all
thank
right,
you very
thank
much.
You. Bye.
Next we go to Fred in Wisconsin. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, guys. I was curious about something I just found out about an outfit called UCP, United Constitutional Patriots. They're a little bit in the news, and I've read up on this thing, and they're basically guys that are trying to help with the border stuff in New Mexico, and apparently they arrested one member of that. I don't know what the details were, but these guys have been able to round up about 5,000 of these people, and they held them for the authorities, and they're slamming them left and right. They're asking for help, financial help, because they're literally living out in the desert in tents and stuff, and they rotate in and out of there, and there's a lot of, you know, expenses with that. And I got this feel from this that I wanted to try to help, but I'm not sure how I can do it without ending up on somebody's list. And I was just wondering what you have to say about that.
Okay, well, first of all, if the reports are accurate, Larry Hopkins is a convicted felon who can't possess a firearm, and apparently he was arrested and charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm, which wouldn't have come up, obviously, or not as easily if he had not been such a high-profile person involved in this activity. Sam, you got any follow-up on this?
Well, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. The FBI is the agency that made the arrest, and the FBI has informants that are down on the border with this group, and one of the informants informed on this older gentleman who's a felon and was carrying around firearms and talking trash. And they arrested him. You know, that's the thing you have to be really careful of. For one, if you're not already on a list, my question is, what in the hell have you been doing to defend the Bill of Rights in this country over the last 20 years? My second comment on that is, you have to understand that if you work with any patriot group in the United States, probably 98% of them have FBI informants or FBI agents that have already infiltrated the group. So if you think you're going to go join a patriot group and do something lawless and not get arrested for it, you're kidding yourself.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. Fred, did we answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. I just wanted to figure out how I could help these guys financially. And
well, do your homework.
I guess that's going to be a cloak and dagger deal.
Anything you do will get you on a list. That's a given. You're not going to
avoid
that.
All right, thank
you,
guys.
We got a Bob in the Hour break.
Okay, Fred. Here's a
little song. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Monday. It is Monday, the 22nd of April. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Now smartphone compatible. That was a challenge, but we got that done. Interesting things there that will educate you and inform you. Our links page has some great links on there. Public appearance schedule. I will be speaking in Metro Cincinnati on Saturday, May the 11th. This is put together by Pastor Paul Begley. It'll be a great event. I hope you can make the details at my public appearance schedule there at thelibertyman.com. Of course, we're going on a Caribbean cruise. That's coming up in October. It may sound far away, but you need to have everything squared away, your passport and your reservation made, no later than the 4th of July. Details are at my website. If you're a single gal, work with Betsy. She'll help you find a bunkmate to make that cabin price half what it would cost normally. So check out the cruise there and give Betsy a call at 636-530-9502. Last but not least, energy cleaners, marvelous healing devices. If you have arthritis pain, what in the world are you waiting for? It's not going to go away on its own. You're healing from surgery, the energy cleaner will help you heal better and make the scarring dramatically less, possibly no scarring at all. That's what the energy cleaner does. $285, shipping included, American zip codes. I've got everything in stock, ready for immediate shipment. When you place your order at my website or by calling my toll-free order line, I'm the guy that boxes them up. I take them to the Little Country Post Office at Cherryville, and I ship them to you. priority mail. Toll-free our line for the energy cleaner and mattress pads is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. The call number here at Republic Broadcasting is 800-313-9443. This is Firearms Monday, visiting with Sam Andrews, proprietor of Freedom Center USA. The Facebook page is Freedom Center USA. The telephone number down there is 417-718-2597. Well, Sam, we've talked about everything except firearms this morning, and we started out to talk about training. Let's get back to training. And the beginning point, for a youngster now, of course, is to go to a hunter safety class, and that would lay the beginning of a foundation for proper training, don't you think?
Sure. So you want to start with safety. Even the basic pistol and rifle courses start with a briefing on safety. It's really the place to start with any firearm activity. And it doesn't matter if you're in a training class, going on a hunt. The first thing anyone should discuss is the safety plan for the event. And that way everybody's on the same page. That's a good thing.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know that you and I ever talked about the Appleseed training, but I'm a big fan of Appleseed as a way to encourage boys and girls, men and women, to get some basic firearms training and at the same time learn about our heritage, especially our heritage during the colonial period and Revolutionary War. What do you think?
Well, I think anything that draws new people in to learning how to handle firearms properly and learning safety and developing skills, I think it's a wonderful thing for the United States. You know, we're dealing right now with the thumb blister generation. You know, the only place these kids get calluses is on the tips of their thumbs from their phones and video games. So anything that gets them outside learning about firearms is a great thing for the United States of America.
Absolutely. There were some youngsters back east, I don't recall the community, in the news recently. They went to a firearms range on their own time and under proper adult supervision were handling and shooting some firearms and posted some photographs or videos or both on one of these media social networking platforms. And they ended up being expelled from school because they engaged in a proper legal activity off campus on their own time. And they ended up being suspended from school for engaging in this very traditional legal activity under proper adult supervision. Something's really broken when that can happen, isn't there, Sam?
Boy, you're not kidding. There's some liberal idiots running our public education system that need to be in jail. And, you know, when I was in public school, we had a marksmanship program. We had 22 Benjamin pellet rifles. We had bows and arrows. And we had a whole marksmanship program in our gym class. And that was in grade school. And nobody was showing up with their stuff, shooting up schools, you know, or anything like that. It's really sad. I believe strategically the biggest mistake that Americans have made in this great experiment is to allow the government to educate their children. I think fundamentally when we look back 100 years from now and see how this all turned out, we're going to say that's the largest mistake Americans made, was to let the government educate their children.
Well, I know in rural America, there were local school boards, which had all local people elected, and they still do, on one hand. On the other, government money has now trumped what the local school boards want. And if they don't accept what the Title IX stuff from the federal government and other things mandated by the federal government, they lose a tremendous amount of their funding. And that money and the incentive to keep that money has changed everything, hasn't it?
Yeah, the whole structure is bogus because it's not about education anymore. It's about indoctrination and getting the cash flow that you want. You know, in my high school, we had almost 1,000 students. We had a principal and a vice principal, and we had three gals working in the principal's offices as help. administrative assistants. And now you go to a high school half that size, they've got a principal, a 12th grade principal, a 11th grade principal, a 10th grade principal, a 9th grade principal, an assistant principal. They've got these six-figure salaries running around there, like, you know, like it's ridiculous the money they waste. And it's the policies that come through the board and the structure based on the federal laws and the teachers' unions. The Department of Education at the federal level needs to be abolished. People need to take back local control of their public schools, and that's the bottom line.
Well, they do. They do. Getting them to give up that money to do that would be a burden. And the alternative, of course, is homeschooling. Homeschooled children typically do quite well, both in life and in once they get to university or college, because they simply have a higher quality education than many of the public school children, don't they?
Well, let me tell you about the day my son was in sixth grade and I pulled him out of public school to homeschooling. He brought home a history book, and they had a chapter on American history, and it had a summary in that chapter of the Bill of Rights. And the summary for the Second Amendment said, to ensure that hunters had guns in case their crops failed or their herds died. That was their reason for the Second Amendment in the history book. And I marched right to school and sat in the principal's office and said, what are you going to do about this? And she said, nothing. You'll have to go to the Rockwood School District Curriculum Director and talk to him about it. I said, you know this is wrong. Are you going to go with me? He goes, no, it's not my job. I said, all right, pull my son out of school right now. Have him empty his locker. I'll take him home right now. I said, you can't do that, Mr. Andrews. I said, I'm his father. You bet your butt I can do this. Get him out of this insane school. I'm not going to have my son in a school. You're teaching lies. And by the way, I threw the history book across her desk to her. I'd marked 45 other errors in that book that I found in about 40 minutes reading through it. It was horrific.
Right, right. Well, one of the reasons I play the national anthem of the Confederate States of America is to help stimulate people to possibly, maybe, kind of, sort of, actually find out what actually happened from 1860 to 1865. I would venture to say that 90-95% of Americans think that the War of Northern Aggression had to do with slavery, which, of course, it did not. When the war was nearly over and Lincoln couldn't hardly draft anybody because of the serious draft rights, then he brought up the issue of slavery. But it was actually about money and about taxation, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. It was about economic control, and it was about secession and trying to avoid manipulation from a centralized source, you know, in the North. And slavery was only brought into the Civil War when Lincoln realized that he couldn't recruit soldiers to line the pockets of the wealthy bankers and the industrial textile moguls. And then they brought the issue of slavery forward as a recruiting tool. But you won't learn that if you're in the North or if you're in a public school in the South. You will not learn the truth about the Civil War.
Absolutely. Well, that's a very true statement, and it's kind of ironic that one of the top generals in the Union Army owned slaves all during the Civil War, and the top general in the Confederate States of America did not own slaves during the Civil War, Robert E. Lee. And all during the war, men, women, boys, and girls were bought and sold in the United States of America in Missouri, Kentucky, Delaware, and Maryland. So we actually had slave owners from the United States being drafted into the Union Army to fight non-slave owners in the South. How ironic is that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, then, you know, people that like to argue the point that you're wrong, it was all about slavery, you can defeat that with one simple statement. What did the Northern Army do when they took over a town in the South? Did they, A, arrest the slave owners on the plantations and try them for crimes against humanity and convict them? Or B, did they burn the infrastructure, the banks, the churches, the schools, the public buildings and destroy the homes of the political leaders? And then the second question is, what happened after the war was over? Did they put the slave owners in jail, or did they give them their plantations back and say, here, go make some cotton?
Right.
And if you can answer those two questions, you can understand what was going on.
Well, I always point out, and I agree with what you're saying, that what you're saying is very factual. I just continue to point out Missouri, Kentucky, Delaware, and Maryland as being parts of the United States of America that never left the United States, where slavery remained legal throughout the entire war, legal slavery in the United States of America. It would be quite ironic for a country to go to war against another country because of slavery if you still allow slavery in your own country, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, as a side note to the education, as far as homeschooling your kids, if you can at all, any way, possibly manage that as a parent, I would highly encourage you to do it. When I pulled my son out of sixth grade, he was about 94 percentile on the Stanford national test that they were giving students at the time. After 6 months of homeschooling, and we only schooled him about three and a half hours a day. I think the law required four, but there were days where we just didn't get 4 or 5 hours in. But I can tell you, after 3 hours a day for 6 months, he scored 99% on his next Stanford national test, which begs the question, what in the hell is the public schools doing with these kids for 8 hours a day?
Good question, and I certainly can't answer that. But there, the lack of standards, and I was, I had an assignment as an investigator to go to one of the West County Parkway high schools. There's a couple, two or three of them. And so I arrive on a Tuesday, right about noon, just before noon, about 11:30, and I'm going to the office to meet with whoever I had to meet with, and I noticed a group of young adults that looked like they had acquired their attire, their clothing, from a homeless shelter. And I thought, well, this must be some kind of visiting group of people who maybe they want to get their GED or something. So I'm talking to one of the administrators, and I said, I asked, well, who are these young people over there? And there was a group of them. And I was told, oh, those are the instructors that looked like they had got their attire from the local homeless shelter. And I said, how come they're all leaving? And they said, oh, we only have half a day of school every week on this particular day. I think it was a Tuesday. Now, that is a big chunk of the school year that's just gone. One half of every day of every week, they take off for whatever the teachers decide to do that day. Now, there's part of your answer there, Sam, lack of standards. Lack of standards. If you're supposed to be an educational professional and you look like you get your clothing from the local homeless shelter and you take off half a day every week, I think that certainly tells something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. And we have the same problem in Congress in the United States in Washington, D.C. You know, people don't work 5-6 days a week anymore. It's amazing the way things have been manipulated, and it's actually sad. But get your kids out of the public schools. That's the best thing you can do.
Absolutely. Well, I know locally where I live out in Crawford County, I know quite a few families that have children in high school and in grade school, and I go to these graduations, and I see who the children who get the scholarships, I know their parents, and these are the parents who take the time that, in addition to whatever the public school does, they tutor their children at home to make sure they know cursive writing, to make sure they know their basic mathematical skills and the other skills necessary to excel. Those are the public school children who do well, the ones who get additional coaching at home. That's my observation.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. There's a lot of holes to patch. It varies based on what school and what teachers, you know, your kid winds up with. But I'll tell you, the most important thing you can teach your child is history. Is get educated in history and teach him about, or her, about the government's structures that have been tried on planet Earth and what worked and what didn't, and educate them on what a republic is. And Don't let them grow up thinking we live in a democracy. Let's teach them the truth and educate them about our founding fathers and all the principles of laws that came before that were based, that we based our republic structure on. There's a reason for all that stuff, and you've got to teach your kids what those reasons are, or we're going to lose this republic.
I agree. Now, as far as mass media is concerned, I'm a pretty big fan of Fox, but even on Fox TV, these commentators almost always refer to our country as being a democracy, and it is so sad to hear that, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. We're a republic, folks. Research that if you don't know what it means.
Here's our break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 22nd of April, visiting with Sam Andrews, proprietor of Desert of Freedom Center USA. Old habits hard to break here, Sam. Freedom Center, USA. That telephone number is 417-718-2597. Sam, getting back to training, most gun clubs will have access to helping moms and dads get professional instruction, won't they?
Yeah, they'll point them to the more experienced people in the area. They may or may not be professionals, but they'll point you in a direction of the most experienced people, or sometimes the most politically connected people that aren't that experienced. So you've got to pick your instructors carefully. But that's a great place to start the research if you're not near Missouri. I would definitely start there.
Absolutely. Well, if you're a reasonable driver from Lebanon, Missouri, that would be a great place to start as well, wouldn't it?
Well, we have just the best instructors in the world for various things, and it's a fantastic. If you're within a few hour drive, or you want to fly in and get training, we do that all the time for people. And if you want to go local, then take a little time, talk to the instructors, ask them if they demonstrate the skills they teach. There's a lot of instructors, they go and get their one-day NRA instructor certification, they get the piece of paper, but they can't shoot. They literally don't have the commensurate skills to be qualified to teach. So you've got to be careful if you're getting an NRA certified instructor. You've got to know, okay, not all NRA certified instructors are created equal. So do a little bit of research. Talk to the instructors ahead of time before you spend your money.
Absolutely. That's an excellent idea. And don't get carried away with technology and thinking that an expensive pistol or an expensive rifle will make up for lack of training. I've seen that a lot, haven't you?
Yeah, a lot of people want to buy the uniform. They throw down the Visa card and they buy a really expensive weapon, but they don't spend a dime on training, and that's a huge mistake, because a very experienced operator with a $400 AK style rifle is much, much deadlier in a gunfight than a guy, a businessman who threw down a Visa card, bought a $6,000 custom rifle, and has had zero training on how to use it.
Right, right. Well, going back to the example of Ferguson, if I would put up four Marines with 100-year-old bolt-action rifles against 20 gangbangers with machine guns any day of the week, because I know who's going to win.
Absolutely a fact.
Absolutely. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
Doctor tells you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.